From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
You're listening to the Open Mic Podcast from the Opubco Studios in Oklahoma City. I'm Oklahoma sports editor Mike Sherman, and my guest is our Thunder beat writer, NBA expert, and soon-to-be Kobe Bryant biographer, Darnell Mayberry.
Why gotta be all that?
You're that because that's what you are. You're multidimensional. But first, the Lakers have won the NBA Finals. They won the NBA title, and I'm here to give you your NBA Finals exam, Darnell. This is an essay.
I didn't do good on essays.
It's not multiple choice.
I didn't do good on final exams.
And you know what? But you know, and the last exam we had for this was prediction, and you predicted what?
Lakers in five.
And how did it turn out?
I think I'm looking kind of pretty on that one.
Lakers in five. So let's see if you can continue your excellent performance. First of all, what do we do now with Kobe Bryant? He's won. He scratched the seven-year itch. He's led the Lakers, a Shaqless Lakers, his team, to the championship. He was the finals MVP coming off the season before in which he was the league MVP. He's actually redeemed himself for last year's finals loss, an embarrassing Game 6 road loss, 39 points. They lost to the Celtics, the ticker tape falling from the skies. In the garden, he's walking off dejected, and now he emerges as what?
One of the top 10 players of all time, I think. I mean, I think at this point, you really can't say anything bad about Kobe Bryant. I mean,
you can't?
I don't think you can on the court. I mean, you can point to, you know, some sort of his mannerisms.
I don't like
maybe his treatment of his teammates sometimes, but you know what? He just got all these guys a championship ring. So as far as on the court, I don't think there's anything you can say about the guy.
How about dressing your daughters up in Laker girl outfits? You for that?
You know, I don't know many, 5, 6, 7-year-old little girls out there who at one point in time didn't want to be a cheerleader. You know, I mean, I don't
Laker
see anything
girls,
wrong with
though,
that.
That's a whole
see,
other
thing. But that's the thing we have with Kobe Bryant. I mean, you love him or you hate him. You know, people just can't accept the fact that the guy's a champion. He's done it. He's proved the doubters wrong. Did it without Shaq. He was finals MVP. Now we're talking about silly things about, you know, the grimace, what he's dressing his girls up as.
It's over the top.
You know, just little silly things. I mean, people just want to poke at Kobe, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't. Okay, well, let's go back on basketball. And I have been accused of being a Kobe Bryant critic. However, there's been stuff to criticize him about. He got a teammate traded out of town. I mean, most guys who do that don't emerge unscathed. But he also won it out. You know, 18 months ago almost, maybe a little bit longer, he was going to go play for the Chicago Bulls because the Lakers didn't have what it takes
and
to win.
And you know what they said after last night's game? They credited Kobe Bryant for where the Lakers are now because his antics that summer in the parking lot of some grocery store or whatever with a fan cell phone camera put the pressure on Mitch Kupchak to put this team in a championship contending position. And if it wasn't for Kobe Bryant demanding to be traded, saying, ship Andrew Bynum out there, do whatever it takes to get Jason Kidd or else I'm out of here, the Lakers wouldn't be here today. So, I mean, you have to give Kobe some credit. He put the pressure on Mitch Kupchak.
That's almost as funny. I mean, that's almost as silly as me talking about his daughters, you know, critiquing him as a player because his wife dresses daughters up in Lakers girl outfits. I mean, that's crazy. He's not going to be the GM of the year. Mitch Kupchak made those deals. Kobe Bryant has no clue of how to put together the basketball team. I can understand his, you know, Phil Jackson said it, Darnell. Phil Jackson said, you know what? Kobe was frustrated by the players around him, and he didn't know that everybody was as committed to winning a championship as he was. And that's right. I mean, and ultimately what happened was he raised the level of his teammates, which is the thing you say about all great players. You got to be able to – did he raise the game of those around him? Yes, he did. But let's not give him credit for being GM of the year, okay?
No, he wasn't GM of the year, but he put pressure on his GM, and I think you have to realize that number one, and appreciate him for what he did. The Lakers weren't going anywhere, and Mitch Kupchak was sort of sitting on his hands until Kobe Bryant came out and went public.
Last question on Kobe. What's the image that we're going to take away when they re-edit this? What's the moment they're going to keep showing us over and over from this series?
I think it was that, you know, driving left, you know, when he had it in his right hand. He drove left
the
on
switch?
Dwight Howard. He switched hands.
Right in Howard's face.
He double clutched it and then put it out. It might have been off the backboard. I think we're going to see that for years to come. And then just one of the celebratory scenes when he grabbed Phil Jackson on the shoulder and he sort of looked him in the eye like, we did it, you know. They can't say anything about us anymore. We did it.
Now, I'm going to say one more thing about him before we go on from that. You know what? What happened before that? Kobe jumping around looking for somebody to hug and nobody running up to hug him. Wonder why that is.
Here we go.
Wonder why. Why? He's jumping and everybody else is hugging each other and he's still going and nobody's hugging him.
Give it a rest.
Okay. All right. Next question. What do we do with Phil Jackson's legacy now? What are we doing with the great Phil Jackson and his 10 NBA titles?
You know, I think Shaq said it best on his Twitter page. He said, you know, congratulations, you're the best of all time. I mean, he's got 10. There's no denying Phil Jackson is the greatest coach of all time at this point. You consider the competition that he's done it with. Yeah, he had Shaq. Yeah, he had Kobe and Shaq and Michael Jordan. But it's not like Red Auerbach didn't have some talent. Bob Cousy, Bill Russell, those guys, you know, Phil Jackson has done it in a day and age where the competition, these elite players are just so dominant these days. I mean, it's hard to win a championship. That's why not many coaches have them, and he's got 10 of them. So I think you have to give him his respect.
It's too bad that there's such a rivalry between the two Reds. Red Holtzman, former Knicks, late Knicks coach, Red Auerbach, late Celtics legend. There's such a rivalry between Boston and New York that's really got passed on to the Sun. In this case, Phil Jackson. A little cool, Bill Russell standing up there on the stage right next to Phil Jackson. Bill didn't reach out to shake his hand. Maybe they do, but this Celtics-Knicks thing seems to be carried past the grave, actually. And I think you're right. In some ways, both of these guys have coached. You could fill a wing of the Hall of Fame with the players they coached.
Yeah.
Most impressive thing about Phil Jackson, I thought all night, was Derek Fisher. What he said about Phil Jackson, about how he lets you be who you are. I think Phil Jackson's, he built this team back. For all the, you know, Mitch Kupchak and Kobe Bryant, never dismiss what Phil Jackson did with his Lakers team, found a way to win it, taught the triangle and the whole Zen-like philosophy to these guys. They played it perfectly. Okay, next question, Darnell. Will the Magic be back? Are they going to be back on this stage next year?
No. I don't think so. I think Cleveland retools. I think they get some sort of help, whether it's Shaquille O'Neal, Rasheed Wallace. Zach Randolph is a name that's sort of been tossed out there. I think Cleveland's gonna be there next year. I think Boston has a shot. They're talking about trading Ray Allen and trying to move up to get Tyreke Evans. So it sounds like, and even maybe Rondo. So it sounds like Cleveland or Boston seems resigned to the fact that, you know, their window might have closed. If I was Boston, I'd give it one more shot. That's another story. But I think, you know, the East has some teams that can compete with Orlando. Obviously, Orlando took care of Cleveland. But like I said, Cleveland will retool. And I think LeBron James tasted this year what Kobe and Gasol and Lamar Odom tasted last year, leaving, having to walk off that stage, you know, basically untimely when before you were supposed to. So I think Cleveland will be back.
Okay, can Dwight Howard be Shaquille O'Neal in 2 years? Here's my point. O'Neal reached the finals for the first time in his 23rd year on this earth. Guess how old Dwight Howard is? 23. Now, Shaq gets swept by the Rockets. Dwight Howard, they get shown the door in 5 games. A lot of similarities between these guys. And guess what? It took Shaq 5 more years and a franchise change to get back to the finals.
You know, I think Dwight Howard has the potential. Obviously, he's nowhere near the force that Shaquille O'Neal is. I mean, and Dwight Howard is an incredible force. But Shaq is just so much bigger and stronger than everyone. No one had an answer for him. So I don't think Dwight Howard will quite become that. But I do think in terms of career path, it'll probably be the same. I don't see Dwight Howard getting back to the finals next year. I think it'll take him a while. I don't think they're going to get back with this current team. I think they're going to have to make some wholesale changes. I think when they do get back, I don't think guys like Turkoglu and Rashard Lewis will be there. I think you'll see maybe Jameer Nelson still on that team, but for the most part, I think you'll see and Courtney Lee, but I think you'll see a different cast.
You know, the magic of Shaquille O'Neal back in the early mid-90s when they lost in four games to the Rockets, it so exposed some holes on that team. Shaq's inability to shoot free throws, the idea that Shaq needed to be a better passer out of the double team, the idea that he needed to develop some signature moves besides just being a dunker, sound familiar to anybody? It's eerie how similar it was. And you know what? Well, that Magic team did, by and large, was try to keep it together and try to make it work. They had already gotten Horace Grant, you know, and so this was going to be a team put together to win in the long term, and it wasn't, and it didn't. And but at the end of the day, Shaquille O'Neal decided, I can't win here, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, this much is clear. Dwight Howard's not going anywhere.
He's locked down.
He's going to win in Orlando.
Okay, next question. Will anyone that we saw play in this NBA Finals series be in a Thunder uniform next season?
Well, I don't think so. You have a couple candidates out there. Marcin Gortat, who we've talked about on this show. You got a guy like Trevor Ariza, who could only come in and add to the Thunder's defense. Still a young guy on the perimeter. But, you know, I just don't see anyone on that Laker or Magic team that Sam Presti would really want as he looks to build forward. Jordan Farmar is a guy who might be out of the mix in LA, is, you know, depending on what they do with Shannon Brown. But Derek Fisher's not getting any younger, so I think that Mitch Kupchak would want to keep Jordan Farmar around. But other than that, I don't really see too many guys.
Okay, Darnell, last question: if Scott Brooks ever coaches the Thunder to the NBA Finals, is there a chance that ABC would hire his brother to be on the broadcasting team too? I mean, to get a sort of a Van Gundy deal?
Now, I don't know his brother, but, you know, I like the job Jeff Van Gundy did. I thought he was he added a good mix of analysis and a good mix of humor. And I think, you know, alongside Mark Jackson, I thought they were a good team. So I didn't see anything wrong with the brother giving the analysis during the finals.
You didn't? I saw there were some moments where he tiptoed around stuff. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought, here's the deal. You had such a critique of Van Gundy after the loss in game four, failing to foul, all those things. Here's my question. Would any other analyst have really taken that apart? I think yes.
I know Hubie Brown would have.
I know he would
have.
Hubie
Brown would have.
And that's the thing. You and I were talking about this last night watching the game.
Yeah.
We said we were wistful in wishing Hubie Brown was doing it. There's an open chair right there. It's okay for Jeff. I just think they put him in a tough spot. They should have said, I'm sorry, you've done a great job for us. You get to be on the second team, and we're promoting Hubie to the A team.
Yeah.
Hubie Brown, Mark Jackson, I love it. Not big on Mike Breen.
I got no problem with Mike Breen.
Okay, he's okay. Hey, anything on the Thunder? You're following the NBA draft? Any late news on the Thunder?
I wrote in today's paper that assistant coaches will be coming in here. They'll probably have an announcement here in the next few weeks. Desmond Mason has been fully healed. He's fully healed from that knee injury. So, you know, we're just waiting for the 25th to come around and see who they draft.
Hey, what are you going to title your biography on Kobe? What's the title going to be?
Have you worked? Stop Hating.
Stop Hating. Hey, that's all for the Open Mic Podcast on News OK. We'll see you next time.